I appreciate that song tonight because that song, each verse, kind of leads us through our life. And it ends up with where every one of us will be one day crossing the river of death. And if ever I want to see Jesus, I want to see him with me at that time to walk me over. I was thinking of a verse tonight. Except the Lord build a house, they'll labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman will wake but in vain. And what that tells me is, you know, at our very best efforts, if the Lord doesn't help us, we're going to fall short of giving out what he would have shared. So I'm asking him for help tonight because we're all headed for eternity. We need to be able to see Jesus in our life, him leading us, guiding us, correcting us. Remember, it says, my son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. It's because the Lord's wanting to change things in us to have us ready to meet him when we cross that river. There are places in the scripture. Last night we talked about being a pilgrim and a stranger. It emphasizes the trip, the journey that I make from here to eternity. I am recognizing myself as not being a part of this world, even though I'm living in this world. There are other descriptions given. It's described as running a race. It's described as being a soldier. And it's this span of time that I have between now and the end of how do I run the race. Remember there it says, so run that you may obtain. Want to be able to run with a opportunity to make heaven my home at the end. But I'd like for us to start this evening in a verse in 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the third verse. This one kind of describes it as being a soldier. And it says in the third verse, 2 Timothy 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then it says in the fourth verse, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, this verse kind of matches up with the one we had last night about us being a pilgrim and a stranger here. I'm going through this life, but I don't want to be distracted by the things that can interfere with my walk with the Lord. This one says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. How is that done? Is it possible that I have no connection with the world at all? I'm just living for Christ only. Folks, you know, we have a lot of interaction with the world. The word that is important here is don't get entangled. We will have, when this meeting is over, I have a job that I go back to Monday to Friday. That's part of the world. That's part of the things that I do. I've got a home. I've got a family to provide for. This is saying don't get entangled. The scripture also uses other words. It says, lest your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life. Every one of us will have to fight that because it is so easy to get caught up. And as we mentioned yesterday evening, like the old merry-go-rounds, it just seemed like it's spinning faster and faster today to take care of those cares of this life. And yet all the time, the distraction of it can be that I forget while that thing's spinning so fast that it's really spinning me toward eternity. So sometimes the Lord, I believe, would like to slow us down, and maybe it's even like in a meeting like this, to hit the pause button on life and say, okay, I do have a lot of things that I need to do tomorrow and the next day. But Lord, help me to stop everything for just a little while tonight and help me to realize I've got a soul that's headed for eternity. And I'm interested in God showing me anything about myself that needs to be adjusted that I would be able to see him in peace at the end of it. So this says in the next verse, in the fifth verse, if a man strive, also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. There is a whole lot in that verse. You know, I can strive through my life, planning to make heaven my home. But if I don't strive lawfully, I'm not going to be crowned. To me, that's a serious thing, because I go to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and as it closed up in Matthew 7, there are some serious words that he says. And I tell you, I can look at these and I can say, you know, I'm going to spend the rest of my days looking around and seeing who these verses would apply to besides me. But I don't have enough time left for that. I need to ask the Lord, Lord, is there any chance this verse applies to me? And it says in Matthew 7 and 21, you remember the verse says, except he strive lawfully, he won't be crowned. This one says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, folks, there are a lot of people that claim the name of Christ today. But this verse is Jesus' words. Not everybody that says it is going to enter, but here's the one that will enter. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's an important verse for me. I need to spend my time, instead of looking around at others, I wonder who is not going to be ready. I need to be praying that, Lord, search me and see if there be anything in me that will prevent me from making heaven my home. And I am thankful that he is willing to do that. This says there's going to be many, 22nd verse, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? And it puts several things in there. In thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So I am very interested in finding out, what things is God interested in me doing to be able to make heaven my home? So tonight I would like to ask God to visit us and help us to see, what things would I need to be carrying in my life when I stand before him? So I'm thinking of the word righteousness tonight. And I'd like to start over in a verse in Titus 2 and 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So out of all these different descriptions that we could say, it's a soldier, don't get entangled. It's a runner, run that you may obtain. It's a pilgrim and a stranger, I got my eyes on the city out ahead that I'm going to make. This one said it's wanting to teach us that I need to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I was looking at the definition of righteousness. A conformity of the heart and life to what? Do I check others around me and say, how do you believe? Okay, I believe I'll go that way too. It says it's a conformity of the heart and life to the divine law. So it has taken this word of God right here and saying, Lord, I want to study this because I'm going to stand before you one day and be judged from this book. And it says that I need to live righteously in this present world, a purity of heart. Thought about a verse for a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As I thought about that verse, I thought about our country. I believe God has exalted our country in the past. We have had blessings in the past, and I believe it was because there was a reverence and respect for God that is being lost today. I don't know how many of you remember it. You ever heard of blue laws? That sounds like something old-fashioned. It kind of started going away when I was a child, but I remember it. You could hardly buy groceries on Sunday. You had to plan your trip to be able to get gas on Sunday if you're going very far. I was looking at it a little bit today, that even today, there are states that practice blue laws. They have a law, car dealerships are not to be open on Sunday in different states. just different things. Where'd that come from? It came from a respect for God. I understand that Sunday needs to be a separated day from all the others. You know, I find that today I can almost transact any business on Sunday that I could any other day of the week. I can shop where I want to. I can go buy lumber to build a house. I can do most everything on Sunday. Righteousness exalteth the nation. I believe God has blessed America in the past because God promised to a nation, if you will put me first. And we saw it with the children of Israel. When they put God first in their lives, he said, I'll fight your battles for you. And he used warfare that we would have never thought about. God was able to go up against the enemy with hornets and won the battle. Now, I would have never thought that'll take care of it. Unless you have ever had a hornet get under your uniform. And fighting's the last thing you want to do then. God promised, I'll take care of my people that are living for me. I believe he's done it for America in the past. And I was looking through the Old Testament. Have you ever looked at the kings in the Old Testament? It says this one was a good one. This one was a bad one. I was reading about King Ahab. Said there was none like him. He sold himself to do wickedness. Now what a title to carry through your life. Sold myself to do wickedness. And his wife was right in there with him. But at the same time, I read about another one. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, this king of Judah, there was none like him before or after. He put his trust in the Lord. And I was reading a verse that says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And you know what? I've seen that in the Old Testament. When the righteous are in authority, the reason they rejoice is because God is on their side. They don't have to worry when the enemy comes up on them. You remember where 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat heard the word that there's a big army coming up against me, and he did what I would do. He feared, but he did something else. He feared and he set himself to seek the Lord because he knew, you tell you what, if I can make contact with God, I don't need to worry about it. And you remember the Lord told him, said, you won't need to worry about this battle. Just set yourselves and see the salvation of the Lord. And the next day, you know, okay, then I've got to start planning. A lot of times in my mind, I need to figure it out how it should be. We would have never figured this one out. It was a great host that came together against the children of Israel. But as they started fighting, there was really three groups that had come in one. And it says two of them turned against the third one and fought until they killed them. And all Jehoshaphat and his people are doing are watching. And then it said those two turned on each other and killed each other. We won't help in a time of a lot of trouble in our world. Let's get up real close to God and walk pleasing to him, and he will be there for us. There were some moral laws that God put into effect. There have been laws of nature that God has put in effect. And it doesn't matter if a person does not even believe in God. Gravity is the same for both of them. It never changes. There are also some other laws that never change. I would like to look at a couple of them. In Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, we're talking about righteousness. 18th chapter and the 21st verse. If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live, he shall not die. All of his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, shall he live. That is a wonderful verse. A person can live a wicked life when he turns from that wickedness and starts serving God. What does it say? They won't even be mentioned unto him. There's another place that as far as the east is from the west, That's how far our transgressions have been removed. I am so thankful for that. But that's not the end of that verse. There's another one right underneath it, the 24th verse. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All of his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. Wait, we just read that verse a little bit ago, that when the wicked man turns, all of his wickedness will not be mentioned. It's taken from him. This one is saying when the righteous man turns, the same thing happens to him. Righteousness that he has done is no longer mentioned. It's erased. In his trespass that he has trespassed, in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. There's another one over in Ezekiel 33 that is talking about kind of the same thing. But it said, should he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity? You know, there is a righteousness that is acceptable to God, and there is a righteousness that he does not accept. And I would like to, for us to look at both of those. There is a time where Israel, when God was talking to them, he talked to them in the past tense. In Jeremiah 2 and 3, it said Israel was holiness unto the Lord. I do not want that to be what God testifies of me. Dan, there was a time that you were holiness unto the Lord. Because it's not good enough when I stand before the Lord when he says, the righteousness that you have done won't be remembered in the day that you trespass against God. I don't want his testimony of me to be that. So I'm interested today in knowing what is acceptable righteousness. Because I find in the scripture there is some that he will not accept. Righteousness that he will not accept. I would like for us to go to a verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2 and in the 8th verse. When I look at this verse, he's letting us know real clearly. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. We have a song, number 105, that we sing a verse that says, no righteousness of ours can ever avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood, all else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I'd like to go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Because Paul was working with some people and he had a desire that they would be saved. Romans 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. I was looking at the commentary on this. It said, not accepting God's method for saving sinners now. Through faith in Christ as the only available sacrifice for sin. You know, these people back then, the Jews that he says, my heart's desire is that they would be saved. You know what saved them before this time? It was works. I've got the Ten Commandments. I do those, and I also have a sacrifice once a year for the sins that I've committed. And now Jesus has come, and in the 4th verse he says, 10 and 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And it says, where the law ended, Christ begins. The law ended with sacrifices. Christ begins with a supreme sacrifice for sin. And I am very thankful for that. Now, does this mean that because Jesus came as a supreme sacrifice, that now means that the law is done away with? We don't have to obey the Ten Commandments or any of the other? No, it's just that's not where my source comes from. My source of righteousness flows from Jesus Christ instead of my obeying the law. The law will then be obeyed very well in my life if it flows through Christ. There's a verse in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know, that brings it down just real, real close. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ that I can be saved. No righteousness of ours will ever avail. No amount of works in itself will save me today. There is no salvation in no other. There's no other name given whereby we can be saved. It is today through Christ. So I have to believe, I have to come to the conclusion, acceptable righteousness begins when I realize who Christ is and what his blood has done for me. And then because of that, works starts flowing because of who he is. There is a verse in Romans 3. Romans 3 and 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. It is now by faith in Jesus Christ. It said God's method of saving sinners is now shown by the gospel to be through his mercy by Jesus Christ. Without the law, without anything that I do on my own to merit salvation, it comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in John, the 10th chapter, I'm the door. There's no other way to be able to go in. By me, John 10 and 9, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, I like things with a guarantee today. I like things that can be backed up. There are places that will tell you, I'm going to give you a lifetime guarantee on this product. You know what's real important for your next question? How long have you been in business? And they say, well, we started last month, but it's got a lifetime. You know what they're really saying is, as long as our life is of this company, we'll guarantee it. But you know, when somebody can go way back, I remember it with Sears. A long time ago, they had a warranty. Because I have had some of these warranties where it tells me it's a lifetime warranty. And then the tool breaks. And I say, okay, how do I get it replaced? You must send the original receipt. We will not accept a copy. Uh-oh, that tells you something to start off with. Because you send the original receipt and nothing happens. And you call them back and they say, I'm sorry, we haven't received it. It's gone because a copy won't help. But I remember with Sears, they had been in business for years and years. And they said, these tools right here, you break them, you don't even need a receipt. You don't even need the two pieces. Just bring part of it back and we'll give you another one. What that does is they got confidence in their product. Jesus said, I'm the door. You know what? He's got confidence in the product. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the door. And for me to realize that my righteousness is not in anything that I've been able to do myself. Folks, if anything is done that's good, it all needs to go back to the glory of God. What is the verse that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise you and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That is acceptable righteousness when it comes from Christ as the source. There is a verse over in Titus, in the third chapter and in the fourth verse. It says, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared," and then he tells us what's important, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." It was his mercy that saved me. It was not by any works of righteousness that I have done. So when we look at this, what is acceptable righteousness? It's that is produced because of Christ in my life and not instead of Christ in my life. There is a story that Jesus gave. It's over in Luke in the 18th chapter. And I think it's given as a warning for us. In Luke 18 and 9 is the warning. "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous." Not only trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but despised others. And then it starts out with the parable. "Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are.'" Here's righteousness that is not acceptable. "I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' And he said, 'I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" So I look at that story and I ask myself, what's the proper attitude? Because you know what? We can look around us today at the world, and I find if I'm not careful, I can get that attitude. I can get a feeling when I hear about transgender, when I hear about same-sex marriage. What's the proper attitude? Except for the grace of God, I could be there too. And to have a care and concern for souls. You know what? God is able to take them and clean them up and put them on the right road. And I find for myself, and I tell you, this is what's going to be the answer for me in the political world that we're living in. Last night we looked at the verse. It gives us instruction. The only instruction that I find is to pray. I do not find any instruction to fight. Because here's what happens. I can go from just a resistance of evil to a carnal attitude so fast. And the time is ticking off on my life's clock. And I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what I called righteousness. And I don't want it to be the one that says, "Lord, Lord, I did all these things." You remember to the church, it said, "You've stood against evil. You did a lot of good things." But there's also something else that happened. You left your first love. And he put that on a level that you're going to be lost except you replace that and come back again. That can affect all of us. And I believe Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows mine. And it is that my desire is to be righteous before the Lord and stand against evil. So what I can do is in that standing against evil, I can let something rise up within me and I lose my own soul. I want to be very careful. I would like for us to think about Paul's testimony. Paul had a whole lot that he could bring to the bargaining table for salvation if he wanted to count on works. Let's look at that. In Philippians Philippians, the third chapter, and the fourth verse. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he starts naming it off. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching, we're dealing about righteousness tonight. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. You could not find a spot in me concerning righteousness of the law. Do you remember when Jesus came along? He went to a deeper depth than just what was written about the law. You remember whenever he talked to the rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler says, I want to inherit eternal life. What must I do? And he said, you know the commandments. He said, I've done them since a youth. You know what those were? Righteousnesses. And he said, there's one thing that you lack. Here's the difference of the law and Jesus coming. Jesus started searching the heart. I can say all the right things, and he searches my heart. Because he looked down in his heart and said, I tell you what, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Because he was monitoring the heart. I have to believe he's monitoring my heart today. And I want to open up to him. And I want to say, Lord, my righteousness is not enough. Paul realized his was not enough. When he gave the things that should, the righteousness in the law, I was blameless. But look at that seventh verse. Those things that were gained to me, I counted them loss for Christ. I just marked out all the things that I had done and considered them to be righteous in the past. And I was looking at the commentary on that. I supposed I was rich in all that pertained to moral character and religion. I found they really were a hindrance. I look upon them not as gain or advantage, but as an obstacle to my salvation. Those things that he did without Christ. Because you know what? When Christ came along, Christ was nowhere in the picture. Except in this concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. But when Christ came along and met him on the road to Damascus, and he said, who art thou, Lord? I don't even know for sure who you are. And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And the turnaround that Paul had in his life. And now here's what he says. Those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them a dung, that I may win Christ. And I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God through faith. 2021 now. A lot of years have passed. This is a challenge to me tonight. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. It says the Jews went about to establish their own, and they expected that to cause them to make heaven their home. And then he warned us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. And you know what? That includes me. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, Lord, tonight shall enter. It's those that do the will of the Father. And it is my desire to do the will of the Father. Are all the works that I do, are they as a result of Christ in my life? Or are they in the place of it? I need to remember tonight everything that will stand in the day of judgment has to come about because of Christ. Yes, that's right. righteousness that is because he has come into my life. None of it is to bring glory to myself. God said, I will not share my glory with another. That was way back there, but it still applies tonight. There's a song that I would like for us to close with. Because you know what, in this day and time that we're living in, I need something solid. I need something to build my life on. And I want it to be something that is instead of my own righteousness. I'd like for us to look at song number 51. The Solid Rock. You know, we sing a song sometimes, I needed something steady to hold to. And something that would hold to me. I'm going to keep holding on to Jesus. This says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then this goes through several other steps. And then it comes down to where every one of us will be one day. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. It's a guarantee. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body. I want him to see righteousness that has come about because of him being in my life. I desire your prayers. Number 51, may we stand and sing.